And somewhere I put it in the category of, oh, only paid missionaries have that kind of experience when they travel, when they're through going through their daily life. But I've come to really understand, you know, of all the details that they have, they're moving for however many years to another culture. They could be just caught up in their own details. But what helps them live with intentionality that they're following Jesus and still seeking to bring glory to Him, even when they're weighed down with those kind of details? What helps them do that? And that this isn't just for the paid professionals. This is for every follower of Jesus to live on purpose, to serve as He came to serve, so we can serve. Well, this is something we grow in, like everything else. We grow in it like these plants. We grow, and it's a growth that is from God. God changes us so that we're not just so focused on ourselves, right? We can remember the hand. If we're going to grow, we're going to be engaging with the Bible. We're going to be talking to God in prayer, and probably as more important, listening to God in prayer. We're going to obey when He says, do something, be aware of this, go there. We're going to obey. We're going to fellowship with one another and encourage each other. And yes, we're talking about sharing, moving forward. How do we share? Well, we're going through a little chunk of Galatians 6, 1 to 10. And on the next slide there, we've looked a little bit at burden bearers, carrying one another's burdens. There's things that weigh us down. How can we care, help each other carry that? We've talked about a little bit about being generous sharers. God didn't give us everything we are and we have so we can hoard it, but so we can multiply it. We can take a risk and invest it in the kingdom. How do we do that? Are we thinking about that? And then today we'll look at it being intentional carers. Doesn't happen happenstance or by accident. It's intentionally moving towards people with the purpose of caring for them in the name and the power of Jesus. And it's a growth that is transformational, one that God brings about as we learn about being intentional carers. This is a part three of a sharing piece of the hand, the sharing piece pushing us out into the world. So I want to pray, and then we'll look just briefly at two verses, verse 9 and 10 of Galatians 6. Lord Jesus, I'm appalled at my own life at times, how uncaring I can be. I can feel hurt and respond hurtfully to someone. I can just be busy with my head down in my own little world, walking right past people, not realizing I'm missing opportunities to partner with You and care for them. And I pray You'd open us up here this morning. We've already been singing some songs along these lines. Carmen had us think about it as she asked children about how can we be kind to one another in a very unkind, harsh world. Your people should be kind. It's Your kindness that leads us to repentance, O Lord. It's not Your harshness, not Your judgment. It's Your kindness that leads us to repentance. And so may we, Your body, reflect You more and more. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. So looking at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I've got both of them up there on the screen in a moment, but we'll start with verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That means, just like this is Paul's continuing a similar theme here, seed time and harvest. Whatever we plant, we will harvest. If we don't give up in doing good, we will reap a blessing from God. There's a personal responsibility that this passage talks about, as well as a mutual responsibility that we have to one another, to fellow creations, people. And so Paul here is admonishing the readers to persevere in faith, knowing that at the proper time, God will fulfill His promise and bring to pass the consummation of all things in accordance with His good pleasure and His divine will. Throughout Galatians 5 and 6, Paul's instructed the Christians of Galatia to do a number of specific things. I'm just going to run through these, a couple of them we've mentioned before. But expel agitators, people that just stir up strife. Expel them. They're not kind. They're not moving forward. They're not servants. They're there to get something for themselves. Expel them. They're just stirring things up. Love your neighbor as yourself, he's talked about. Keep in step with the Spirit by manifesting the Spirit of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Practice church discipline by restoring those who have fallen. Bear one another's burdens and examine ourselves in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, this is He's coming. And share all good things with those who teach. Open up the word to us. Paul has summarized now in this verse these duties in a general form of doing good. Doing good in the sense is the same thing as fulfilling the law of Christ, like we talked about last week. Why did Paul feel it necessary to persist in reminding the Galatian believers to practice the plain duties of the Christian faith? Do good, right? Shouldn't this come somewhat more natural? Why has he got to write to believers? But he's, in essence, he says, don't quit. Do a little good today. Do a little more good tomorrow. Don't quit. Don't give up. But pursue this. Do good. But he writes it, I want to quote Calvin here. This precept, this idea, Calvin's writing on this verse, is especially necessary because we are naturally lazy in the duties of love. And many little stumbling blocks hinder and put off even the well-disposed, or those when we're inclined to do good, there's hindrances from us actually acting on it. We meet with many unworthy and many ungrateful people. Right? We can become hard. Well, they deserve it in some way or another. The vast number of the needy overwhelms us. Don't we have that in our day? The access to information we have. What difference can I make in this crazy fallen world where the needs are absolutely overwhelming? We are drained by paying out on every side. Sometimes we're just exhausted. Our warmth is damped by the coldness of others. Finally, the whole world is full of hindrances which turn us aside from the right path. Therefore, Paul does well to confirm our efforts so that we do not faint through weariness. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up doing good. Isn't that weird that it needs to be said? But it does. We forget about it. We just, like I say, put our heads down. We're living our lives, become jaded about what the world is and the possibility of God doing something big, meaningful, helping us love someone. But he speaks this to believers. Other hindrances, right? Maybe we've been hurt. We've stepped out and risked loving, showing kindness. And we've been hurt or maligned. I think I shared quite a while ago, we were trying to walk with a family some years ago, Beverly and I. Next thing you know, there's all sorts of false rumors in the community about us just because we tried to help this family and they didn't really want to be helped. They just wanted to soak the system, so to speak, make life work. But it didn't stop us from loving them. Keep doing good. Do it constantly and consistently and courageously. Right? It's easier the closer relationships we have with each other, that when we feel hurt, that we hurt back. But let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Push into this world, and even if it's not appreciated, push into this world and love people anyways. If we Going to the next slide, I found this. There's different versions of this on the internet. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyways. I'll bring up the motives here and again in a minute. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyways, right? We can be generous. God's generous to us. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyways, or joy-filled. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyways. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyways. For you see, in the end, it's never been between, in the end, it is between you and God. It's never been between you and them anyways. God will reward it. We don't need our reward. What mixed motives get in there sometimes, right? From within or from without. If we look at the next slide, there's some thinking of mixed motive, hey? I'll let you read that for yourselves there. There's a reason to become friendly with shady people, right? So they can get out of their student loans. And that's kind of our world, right? What's in it for me? And they might even question us, even if we're honestly just trying to walk alongside somebody. Someone can question our motives. That's okay. Let them question our motives. Let's love them anyways. Let's be kind anyways. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time, this is phrase here, it's the fullness of time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we don't give up, persevere, continue to do good, engage people. Don't give up. Right? I often find myself questioning, well, should I? Feels like I'm pushing into their life. I walked past the person that was coming out of the hospital several months ago from doing some visitation, walking down the street, and I could see this younger woman somewhat distressed. I mean, it wasn't a house on fire kind of distressed. Isn't it easier when you know it's how extreme it is? Somebody comes to our door and says, my house is burning down. All of us respond, right? Sometimes we don't know what scale, how severe it is, but she's obviously in some distress, bearing some burdens of the world. But I talked myself out of caring for her. One, because she's female, and it might be misconstrued. It's in a public place. It's on the street. I could have just said, hey, is there some way I can pray for you? I could have engaged, but I talked myself out of it. And I walked past. I mean, there's only seconds from the time I saw her till I was already past her. But don't we do that often? I wonder how many opportunities we miss where God is doing something in their life. And he goes, hey, she needs to hear this message from someone with flesh on. God is spirit. We're the ones with flesh on. Right? A co-worker, we can see something in their life. We're going, wow, I should really care for them some way. We might pray for them, but will we engage them? Will we pray with them? Or do we shrink back? We become weary of doing good. Let's not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Moving on to verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Right? Paul's summarizing a huge section of Galatians here. This is not as we have opportunity. Well, you know, if I'd bumped right into that girl, then I could have cared for her. Or if she came and asked me, I find that way easier. Way easier if someone comes and says, hey, would you care for me in this way? Way easier, right? Open door. But this phrase here is, it's not a great translation. I didn't really find a great translation after you digging into what it really means here. As we have opportunity is much more not the sense of stumbling upon it, but rather our eyes wide open, living on purpose, intentionally looking, pursuing opportunities to care for people. God, what are you doing, and how can I be part of it today? How can I be part of it this week? This conversation, you're up to something. How can I show kindness, love? How can I serve this person right now? Isn't that what Jesus was doing? He says, nothing I've done. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. So he's seen his Father. What are you up to, God? And I see you actively doing this. And he moves towards people in the same way. John 5:19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You know, we've got our threefold ministry framework as a church. Helping people experience God, us growing in that experience, engaging in biblical community, not just surface relationships, but real biblical community, walking with each other, and equipping people to serve in the kingdom. And this living on purpose, this living this out, I'll come back to this again later, but there's something dramatic about seeing someone else show care that we learn some way. We, as adults, we need to see a way before we can find our way. So sometimes this is just too elusive, this show kindness. Well, in how? What ways? And we need to think real specifically, like Carmen was asking the children this morning. How have we seen kindness shown? How are we seeing it shown? And we find the ways that God is opening us up to do that as well, to do likewise. But it also comes out of that intentionality, pursuing opportunities. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to the people that look like they deserve it. That's what it says, right? To the people where it's pretty easy to love them. That's what Scripture says. That's what Jesus was all about. Let us do good to... What a horrible word comes next. Right? We've all been in situations where we would rather vomit on ourselves than actually move towards that person in a kind way, right? I mean, it's uncomfortable. Welcome to following Jesus. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. Looking for opportunities to do good to everyone. Everyone. Do good to everyone. Cease having different responses depending on who it is. Stop deciding if they deserve it. Or if they fit into our category. Racism, other ways of excluding people, have no place in the kingdom of God. Do good to everyone on the same par. Move towards them. Do what's for their best. Beverly and I were out in Abbotsford at our special general meeting of the Canadian Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches, as well as a time of talking about transforming discipleship. And I went to one session led by Trevor Goddard. He's a missionary in Mexico. He started the Matthew Training Center. One of the things he points out, he just looks at the life of Jesus, and he says Jesus spent time with four different groups. As I hold up a hand of five, four different groups. He was with the crowds, often called the multitudes. He was with the religious leaders, often in a Q&A kind of, sometimes they approached him and trying to trap him and whatever else, but got into a question and answer with them. He was with the interrupters, the needy, right? Sometimes whether they just come and touched his cloak or whatever else, someone breaking in a teaching time, teacher, come and pray for my daughter, whatever. And he called them the interrupters, the needy. And he was with the disciples. That's three kinds of people that are not followers of Jesus yet. 3/4 of his time, yes, the disciples were witnessing how he engaged there, and it was a training time for them, but actual time with just his disciples is only 1/4 of his time. How about us? We gather here Sunday mornings. Maybe we're in a care group. Maybe we're in another group. Who do we invite into our home? How often are we even in a position to love everyone? Do we invite them into our lives? Do we engage with them? Find out where they're really at? Jesus, 3/4 of his time was spent in the world with everyone and anyone, befriending people and doing good to all. Jesus modeled something that most congregations, most followers of his, don't get. And I don't even know how to live this out, really. This is weird. Trevor Goddard, the one leading that session, I mean, he started the Matthew Training Center. And it's not, it was like a Bible school, but it's not like a Bible school. Yes, they intentionally have some class time. They're taught, they explore, they pray together. But the majority of their time is out serving. Loving. The majority of their time is out serving and loving. Wouldn't the body of Christ have a greater impact in the world if we were doing that? But we tend to cluster. We tend to live in a fortress and hope that the impact on us isn't too great. Those of us who have the Holy Spirit in us, he who is in you is greater than he is in the world, but we live as if we're afraid of being contaminated or something. We need to understand this too and engage people, learn to love. I mean, that'll draw us into prayer, right? It'll draw us to go back to the scriptures. What's a great response in this situation? To share, right? Sharing is witnessing through our mouths and serving. And living it out. Do we do that intentionally caring? Do we get up in the morning going, how can I serve today? I know some of you are doing some of this, right? We practice our workplace. We come alongside. This is saying, don't give up. Keep doing it. In fact, maybe even ramp it up. There still might be some opportunities we're missing. And these are all connected together, right? The hand. The more we're studying who God is, learning who we are as his people, then we engage. The more we're in attune with the Spirit, praying, then we engage as one who is a follower of Christ and empowered by the Spirit. He gives us the words as we regularly obey in the big things and the little things of life. Becomes more natural, supernatural, but more natural to how we're living. So we fellowship. Our purpose of our fellowship is to what push us into the world. Throughout history, often we have to face severe times of persecution, right? Even the New Testament is a good example of that. They face persecution so that the ends of the world will know, go and make disciples. But who goes until we're forced to go, right? Transporting our faith with us. We don't have to wait for severe persecution until we're scattered. We can choose. We can choose to go. We can choose to follow God and follow and not give up, not grow weary of doing good and looking for those opportunities around us all the time. William Carey arrived in India in 1793 with a burden to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who had never heard the name of Jesus. For 7 years, he proclaimed the gospel message faithfully, week after week, month after month, with not a single native of India converted to Christ. He struggled with doubt, and Carey became discouraged and defeated. To his sisters back home and in England, he wrote, "I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing up, and thus I hope. A little blasts all, and my hopes are gone like a cloud. They were only weeds coming up." And he never saw fruit from his work. Or if it sprung up, a little corn did spring up. He sees some fruit. It quickly dies and it's choked out with weeds, or it's parched by the sun of persecution. "Yet I still hope in God, and will go forth in His strength and make mention of His righteousness, even of Him only." He comes back to this, "But God will reward." And on December 28th, 1800, Carey baptized in the Ganges River. Ugh, that makes me cringe if you know anything about the Ganges and what's floating in there and stuff. Here is a baptism. His first Hindu convert, a carpenter named Krishna Paul. William Ward, who witnessed the dramatic deliverance of this man from the grip of paganism into the glorious truth of the gospel, wrote in his diary, "Ye gods of stone and clay, did ye not tremble when in the triune name one soul shook you from his feet as dust?" This was the beginning of a mighty harvest. So finally there was a harvest of souls that God granted to Carey and his co-workers. And then it started to grow from there. Years later, we're with venture teams. We're sending teams to India. And they're running into true followers of Jesus Christ. And some of them have had a heritage from the late 1700s on down. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. And God says, not only here alone will we be rewarded and see some fruits of our labors, but don't give up. Don't give up. Yes, we'll see some reward here. We'll see some fruit here. But ultimately, at the return of Christ, we will really see what He's been up to. That we had the privilege of being part of something way bigger than us, way more important than a lot of the things that fill our agendas. Don't give up. We're going to continue a version of this series. It'll be a new series after Christmas, exploring this. Exploring how we push into our community, into our world, that we would have real involvement. I want to make up a survey of what are those things that weigh on your heart, right, that are way too big. For me, one of them is human trafficking. There's more sex slaves on the planet right now than there's been slaves at any time in history. That grieves me like crazy every time I hear of another story, another piece of it. But it's such a big issue. How can I have any impact at all? And I'm really convinced that our congregation, we need to discern a couple of social justice issues. Something local that we can get our hands and our feet dirty, engaging in. And I don't know what that is. What are the needs of our community? Would you commit with me to pray to see this community, Southern Alberta, as God sees it, and what our unique role in that is? And I think we do. We do need to take on something way bigger than ourselves. Maybe it's through one of our missionary partners. Maybe it's just sensing the pulse of this congregation. What is really burning within us, and we don't know how to have a wise response to it? And then we work together and we find our niche. Here's what God is calling us to be and to do at this time to make a real difference for His glory and for His sake. But would you join me first in just praying? Just praying that God would clarify that for us as individuals and as a congregation. things that we can really meet? And in the meantime, would he give us the courage that we would act? We would move. We would not grow weary of doing good. We would have our antenna up. We would get up in the morning and go, God, you're up to something in the lives of people around me. And how are you calling me to be you? To love them in your name. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Maybe some love our enemies. The power of the Spirit. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, if we want to grow, we are in your word. If we want to grow to be like you, at least. If we're going to grow, we're going to be building our relationship with you. Not just talking about you, not just learning about you, but growing in intimacy and love with you. Praying, listening, praying in groups, praying individually. We're going to learn to have a responsive faith, obedience, that comes through in our in the way we obey in all of life. We're going to fellowship together, yes, for the purpose of building one another up and for encouraging us in our ministries, our engaging. And we're going to serve you, God. We're going to witness and serve you. We share you in some ways, all sorts of ways. Would you give us the courage to engage? Would you lead us and clarify for us, God? We want to have an impact that is eternal. Would you lead us on this journey? We pray in your powerful name. Amen.